O God, the Creator, Savior, and Sanctifier of the world, we thank you for your wisdom and grace in preserving the human race in both body and soul. We confess that we do not deserve any of your blessings because of our sins. We thank you for revealing to us the work of our redemption accomplished by Jesus on the cross. We glorify our Lord for instituting baptism so we could be united with you, being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As we live in a world filled with unbelief, help us through your word and sacraments to always trust in Christ's salvation, to continue in the newness of spiritual life you gave us at our baptism, and finally to rise to eternal life where we can sing praises to you, O Triune God, forever. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this Trinity Sunday is written in the 14th chapter of John, beginning at the 23rd verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who worship and confess the Triune God, the Triune God is like a clover, one stem with three leaves. The Triune God is like a red-hot sword. It contains both light and heat and iron. Consider that we see things in three dimensions, or that the atom is made of three particles: proton, neutron, and electron. Or even protons and neutrons have three quarks each. And some people have even used the illustration that the nuclear family is father, mother, and son, or child. That's a false illustration because we just confess that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal. Now, these are illustrations that people have used in order to illustrate the Triune God to other people. But however they may help us, these illustrations fall far short of what the Holy Spirit tells us about the Trinity in God's Word. We've just described the Triune God as best we can in the words of the Athanasian Creed. And St. Paul, while he says that the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, nature really cannot help us to understand the reality of God in his triune nature of the one God. We have confessed that he is one, yet with this three distinct persons. However, God doesn't ask us to understand his nature, to be able to intellectually grasp it. He asks us only to believe what he has revealed in God's word, so that we may serve him and love him and worship him as the way he revealed to us in that word. Jesus says that our love to God extends to loving his holy word. And so Jesus' words in our text call us to love our triune God. Now, a theme that says love our triune God may sound like law. You better love him. The intention of the text that Jesus and what Jesus' words are to help show us the blessings that we receive from the Father, the gospel message of that we receive from God, so that we may understand him and then love him. So, we are to believe and rely on God's love, the Father's love for protection. We are to believe in God's salvation and life, and we are to trust in God's word in peace. The teaching that there was one God with three persons lies at the heart of our Christian faith, as we heard in the Athanasian Creed. We either worship the God who created us and preserve us, or we worship Mother Earth. We either worship Christ as the God in man who came to save us, or we look at Jesus as simply a man like us who cannot be our Savior. The Holy Ghost also must be God who teaches us the truth and keeps us in the faith, or we have no truth to believe in and we must find God on our own. Those are the issues that we're dealing with today. However, the Athanasian Creed that we have just confessed teaches us that we are lost and condemned sinners unless we worship the God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. About this, Martin Luther wrote, "We could never attain to the knowledge of God's Father's grace and favor except through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mirror of the Father's heart. Outside of Christ, we see in God nothing but a wrathful and terrible judge. But about Christ, we could know nothing if the Holy Spirit had not revealed it to us." The Holy Spirit then revealed to us God's love. As he quotes Jesus' words to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And dear friend, this love is another divine mystery. Humanly speaking, how could our holy God love wicked people? How could he care about rebels who broke his law, hated and blasphemed his existence, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator? And yet Jesus declares, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God does this because he wants everyone in the world to know that he cares about them, that he provides for them, that he is a loving God. St. Paul told the people in Athens, "God made the world and gives life to all, breath and all things, for in him we live and move and have our being." And as we celebrate Father's Day, this is what it means to have a heavenly Father, one who cares about us, who loves us, who nurtures us, who guides us, who takes care of us in many different ways. While we often speak of God the Father as the creator of all things, the Bible informs us that the Word was God, and all things were made through him, that is, Jesus, the Son of God. Again, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So all three persons were working together for creation and also for preservation of the world. God designed the vast galaxies of our universe, billions and billions of them. And he also designed the tiny atom, which we can't even see, which holds all things together and is the material of all the world. And all things that he made work together to support life here on earth for you and I, so that we live and can worship our Father as creator and preserver of life. And all that God made was perfect until Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin and death upon the whole world, corruption and all sins that we live and experience in this world. Sin destroys man's relationship with God. Sin separates mankind from God so that God does not hear our prayers under sin. Sin places us under God's just wrath and eternal punishment. And the flood, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the destructions of Jerusalem all point to a God who is righteous, who punishes sin. And yet many people, even though they've heard these stories, don't believe that God will do that, that God will punish. But he is a just God. And Jesus says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words." And those who don't keep his words will not find eternal life. And dear friends, there is a great danger in living in a prosperous times and in peaceful times. We may forget that it is God who provides for us and think that we are doing it all ourselves. With pride in our own works, we may not give glory to God for his gifts. We may become complacent about our worship as if we don't need to worship God. Or we even ignore God's word if we don't hold Bible, read our Bible in devotions or have family devotions. We need to guard and keep God's word because it is the way of truth. It keeps us in the way of eternal life. Guarding God's word is important, as if that word is the most precious possession that we have, because it is God's word that tells us about the love of God that provides us salvation and eternal life. Trinity Sunday confronts us with another mystery, as we heard in the Athanasian Creed. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God, equal with the Father, and that he took on human flesh to live among us. Jesus said, "The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Jesus, in that saying that, is giving all glory to God, the Father, as he is supposed to do in keeping the first commandment for us. He is speaking under his state of humiliation in order that he might obey all things for us and keep the law in our place. And so, while the holy God has every right to punish sinners, Jesus declared, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus came to rescue sinners from God's punishment, to deliver them from the punishment of death. Now, was Jesus able to do this? At his baptism, we see that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and the heavens opened, and God said, "This is my Son in whom I love. Listen to him." All three persons of the Godhead were involved in that mission of Jesus. We confess in the Athanasian Creed that Jesus alone is the one who was made man, the Son of God, that he is both God and man, that he is the one who rescued us from our sins by keeping the law in our place and by suffering and dying in our place. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And although he died, Jesus rose to life again to declare to the whole world the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' person and work defies all human logic. Yet God's word is clear about what Jesus said and did, about who Jesus is. We have a God that is greater than us, but also is greater in love, greater in salvation, greater in being able to care for us and bring us to salvation, to heaven. When Jesus says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day," we can trust those words of Jesus, God's Son. It is God's will that he wants us in heaven. It was God's will that put Jesus on the cross to die for our sins. It was God's will that he has brought us to faith and kept us in that faith. And through faith, we personally receive the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is eternal life in heaven. All freely gift earned by us by Jesus. As we heard in our gospel and in our text, we also heard Jesus promise to send the Holy Spirit so that we might know him, Jesus, as our Savior, to know the truth and to believe the word and to receive peace with God. Now, the Holy Spirit is not just a force from the Father. It's not just the Father's will in the world. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, as we confessed. He does this in order to give us spiritual life. Jesus described the Spirit's work this way: "The Helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Now again, notice again how the three persons work together in bringing us to faith through his word. Why is it so important that we know this about the Holy Spirit, about our God? Because God reveals to us the nature and work through his holy word. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Because the Holy Spirit chooses only to work through God's word, which he inspired. And because God's word reveals Jesus as our only Savior. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would bring the disciples' remembrance all things that I have spoken to you. And so we can be certain that the Bible correctly records what Jesus said and did, so that if he made a promise, we can believe not only that that promise is correctly recorded in the scriptures, but that it is a promise from God, God's Son. And he does not lie. And we can hold on to that promise no matter what happens to us in our life or in the world. And so when Jesus says in our text, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You can think in the worldly sense the disciples had much to be afraid of, just as we do in our culture. The world wants us to be afraid and has tried mightily to make us afraid about the future. But we have God's peace. We know that all things will work together for good to those who love God. All things. We know that God loves and cares for us. That no matter how much tribulation and affliction we have in this world, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which we have in Christ Jesus, which we will have in heaven. And it is that Spirit who works in us this faith to trust in God. And he will work and continue to work in our lives as through his word, so that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when Jesus declares, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus is declaring an end to the warfare with God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from God's love? If God forgives us our sins, who can accuse us of sin before his throne in heaven? And if God's word is true, we can follow Jesus through that word as he guides us to heaven. And as Lord of the church, Jesus is providing another pastor for you to proclaim that word, to walk together with you through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that you may enter into eternal life in heaven. This is the God that we celebrate. This is the God we worship and love. Dear friends, Trinity Sunday looks back at the three miracles that we celebrate at Christmas, at Easter, and Pentecost, so that we may see God's work in our lives. Trinity Sunday also looks forward as we see what does that faith mean for our personal life as a Christian. How do we grow in that faith? What does it mean as we live in the faith as Christians? And so that's what your new pastor will be talking about in the Sundays after Trinity. Our triune God works to establish our faith, works to help us to praise him and glorify his name, to establish peace with us, to keep our hearts centered on Christ, to love God who has loved us in Jesus, given his life for us, so that we can have eternal life in heaven. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.